And that was a joy. We're going to be in 1 John 1, if you'd start there. 1 John 1. I saw this topic and I thought, oh man, I wish I had like 3 months. I could probably do a good job if I had more time. I'm going to do the best I can, but the strength is in the verses, not what I say. I'll do my best to get out of the way, but the verses, I think there's some good things to consider there. This idea of holiness, well, that's a difficult one to get your arms around, isn't it? You know, really. We know that God is holy, and we know we're supposed to be holy, and we know we can't ever be as holy as Him, and yet, if we're not holy, what does that say? And so there's, you know, to start this conversation, go to 1 John 1, verses 5 through probably 9 is where we'll stop. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Okay, let's pause there. Now, that word holiness isn't in there, but did we just describe holiness? I think we did. What do we learn from that? This is class, right? Y'all supposed to talk to me? There's no darkness at all in God. Is that a valuable thing? I mean, you stop and think. I don't know. Is any nurses in here? Surgeons? Somebody? Raise your hand. You're a nurse. There you go. I mean, you just go from like cleaning fish straight to the hospital and start working on people. There's a need for purity, isn't it? There's a need for cleansing and to have things that are not contaminated, right? And scrub as you might, you're probably still not quite 1,000% pure, are you? But thanks for making the effort, though. I appreciate it that there's a pause between the fish and the hospital. But in regard to our holiness, I mean, there's no one like Jesus. Our topic is Jesus Christ is our holiness. He's our holiness. And you have to understand first and foremost about Him, just like the verse said, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, this is talking about the Father, I understand, but this is who God is. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, what happens to us on that verse? We see this God in unapproachable light, and He's so holy, and He's so pure. And then we read that verse, and we're like, man, I will never get there. I will never get there. If we say we have fellowship with Him, well, I want to do that, and yet walk in darkness. Now, there's kind of a key, isn't it? You know, what does it mean to walk in darkness? To walk in darkness. What does that mean to walk in darkness? That's your path. And there's a sense, as we're going to see in the context here, it's an ongoing, continuing thing that you're persisting in. And that's real key to this whole discussion. And I'll just give you the last chapter of where we're headed here, okay? We are relying on His holiness. We must rely on His holiness. We are never going to be holy to the point that we're worthy of salvation. So sometimes there's Christians that you think, I've got to be perfect. Man, I've got to be so perfect. Especially new Christians, you know, you realize how wonderful it is to have your sins washed away when you're baptized. And it's like, okay, I've got to be perfect. And then reality hits and you're not perfect and you feel so awful. So there's that issue. But then there's others that rely on grace too much. Now, that sounds like a strange thing to say. But sometimes people look at the grace of God as, okay, He's holy, I don't have to be holy. I can just be any way I want to, and I'll just lean on Him. I'll lean on His holiness. That sounds good, but then sometimes you're right here where verse 6 is. You're walking in the darkness. You are practicing the very thing that Jesus died to take away from your life. And so there's clearly that we shouldn't be doing that either. So hopefully by the end of this, we'll see what it means to rely on His holiness, and what do we do with His holiness. So let's keep moving. I'll read 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice. And there's that important word. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, so far we've been talking about God the Father. Now we're bringing Jesus into the mix here. And how important is Jesus in this whole cleansing process? Obviously, pretty important. Why? Why is Jesus so important as we unholy people approach the Father who is holy and there is no darkness in him? Why is Jesus so important there? Some of you are like, well, that's a stupid question because that's everybody knows that. But don't assume that. There's always people present that don't know. A little louder. Okay, he intercedes for us. Was everybody else just busy? Well, how come we have to have Jesus intercede for us? He's the only one that can intercede for you. Say that, I'm sorry. He hasn't sinned, that's right. He is perfect and pure, and he always was. He was that way before he came to earth. He walked the earth that way. He left the earth that way. God established the covenant that we have with the Father. It's through him. It's only through him. He's the Lamb of God. There's nobody else like him. And so for the holiness that's required between us and God, Jesus fulfills that for us. He is our holiness for that reason. But we're still back to, it's still kind of like, okay, but I can never be holy like he is. And so am I on the wrong side of these verses? We'll look at some more in just a minute. But Richard, did you have your hand up? True. There's nothing else like him. There's no one else like him. And without his holiness, we have no hope, do we? But with his holiness, we have every hope. And this is an interesting verse. I'll always love this one so much because the Apostle John, I mean, I realize all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and certainly John did. But among men, he's going to make the top 10 list, isn't he, as far as a good and godly man? Might be a pretty harsh list if he falls to 10. I think he may be top 5. I don't know. But listen to what he says and see the tenses of what he's saying here. He's including himself in this discussion. He says, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he's including himself in that passage. Did you catch that? So, I mean, I understand as a young man, you know, one of the sons of thunder, he wasn't maybe quite as shiny, but at this point in his life, he is walking with God in a very beautiful, wonderful way, and he's including himself in that passage. He's including you and I, but he's including himself there. Let me read it again. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, just so we kind of get on the right page, I just talked about if you walk in darkness, you say you have fellowship with him, but yet you walk in darkness. Well, that's perfect, isn't it? Doesn't that mean we're supposed to be perfect? No. Can we be perfect? Isn't that what this verse is just saying? In him we've been made perfect, and we've been made holy. But it's his holiness we're relying on and not our own. And sometimes Christians look at themselves. They know they've been saved by grace, but then they want to be saved by works again. And you're just never going to get there. Now, again, that's an error because it leads to uncertainty and you just don't know where am I? But the other flip side of that is if you take that license too far, you know, he's holy and so I can just be any way I want to. Now we've that pendulum swung too far the other way. Let's look some more here. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, I can't go through that verse without. Did you ever watch Columbo? I love Columbo. It's a good show, you know. And it's the whodunit. We know who did it. And Columbo finally figures it out. And then he presents it to them. And then what do? They confess, right? Yep, I did it. Yep, you got me. Does God already know we've sinned? So what is confession really? What is it used here? What's confession mean? My thinking is lined up with God that this thing I've done, I see it now. I agree. God's right. This is sinful, and I need to repent of it. But the beauty of that is if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to go back and read that verse again, okay? At this point, are we holy? Do we have holiness at this point? And what point? Let me go back and read it again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. So my question then, are we holy at that point? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that an amazing thing that we, no one better, but still turning away, but we've repented and we're not walking in that darkness. We've used the light to see, okay, wait, I'm on the wrong path. Let's get back where I need to be. Lord, this is wrong. I admit it. I confess it. I see it now. I agree with you. Please, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy One, and it's His holiness that we rely on. That's why Jesus Christ is our holiness. Our faith is in His holiness and not our own. Am I making sense? Good. That's a good thing. Okay, let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm listing these verses because I may not cover all of them, but they would be good for you to study later. I always think, really, the follow-up study is probably better than what we do here. But 1 John 3, verse 1. I'm really going to verse 3 here, but I'm setting up the context with 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. Like we're there right now. We are a child of God now. We are in God's household now. Praise the Lord that we are in His household now. Those who've been baptized into Christ Jesus, their sins have been forgiven. They've been, the power of sin's been replaced with the power of the Spirit, and we are in Him now, and that's something to treasure. I don't think we always treasure that. I think sometimes our walk with God is, okay, I've sinned, I sure don't want to go to hell. Oh no, what do I do? Well, I'll be baptized. Okay, I'm baptized. Well, I guess I can just live any way I want to until I die, but I've already punched my ticket. And we look at salvation and we look at what God's done and it's all about just punching our ticket so we can go to heaven, not go to hell. God wants to be in our life now. He wants us to walk with Him now. He wants that holiness now. He wants us to be pursuing holiness now. We are children of God. He says, for this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Now there's a fair question to ask yourself. The world does not know us because it did not know Him. And this is, I don't want to see hands. You don't need to say anything out loud, but I want you to think about it in your heart, okay? How much does the world distinguish you from them? And by the world, I mean those that do not have a relationship with God. They're not in Christ. How different do you look than the world around you? Because I'm afraid sometimes we try to fit in so much that there's really not any functional difference between how we live and the world lives. When I'm reading this one, this reason the world does not know us because it did not know Him. They're living in a way that's different. And that shouldn't surprise you because we're trying to be like Jesus. And the more we're like Jesus, well, you know, He's holy. We're trying to be holy. People see a difference. This isn't a self-righteous thing where you puff yourself up. It's just you trying to be like Jesus. And there's a noticeable difference in how you conduct yourself. I don't care what you're professing. You can say all day long that you're a follower of Christ. Show me that you're a follower of Christ. The world needs to see that difference. That's one way in a dark world that we can shine a light into the lives of those that are trying to come out of the darkness. They recognize that we are walking in the light, and they want that. And I'm afraid sometimes we look just like the world around us to the point they can't tell any difference. And it ought not be that way. Verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. What time period is verse 2 talking about? We know that when he appears. What time period is he referring to there? When he comes again, right? Isn't that what he's talking about? He's already appeared once. He's seated now at the right hand of his Father. When he appears again, did you ever think about what Jesus is going to look like then? Did you ever stop and consider what Jesus... Do we have anything in Scripture that kind of tells us a little bit visually? Visually, that word's kind of like vision, isn't it? Huh. Yeah, do we have any clue what Jesus looks like? Somebody tell me. Wearing jeans, overalls maybe, I don't know. Can you get anything? Revelation? I always like it whenever an angel shows up or Jesus at that moment, one of the first things is, don't be afraid. It must be so awesome. I mean, and that's a vision of who he is. I think at the Transfiguration, we get a little bit of a glimpse of that, don't we? This is blinding light and purity and holiness that's on display right in front of you. And let me see that again. What did it say there about us? We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Did I read that right? What's that saying about our life in eternity? Is it going to be holy? Does that sound good to you? No more corruption, no more sin, no more temptation, no more flaming darts of Satan coming your way. Brother Ray, did you have your hand up? You're going to know it's him. Yeah. He's not going to need a name tag, is he? No. But, I mean, in us, but we're going to be like him. Isn't that what the verse said? You ever stop and consider that? And yet we go through life thinking, how much can I pack in? It's too much. How much can I sin before it's too much, God? Because I've already punched my ticket. Jesus is, he washed away my sins, and I'm just out here just living large. Because I know that Jesus, he loves me, and his grace covers all my sins. Didn't Paul say something about that in Romans? You remember Romans 6, verses 1 and 2? I'll read it to you. We'll come back to 1 John. Hold your place there, okay? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? He's holy. We're relying on his holiness. We're never going to be as holy as him. Praise the Lord, we don't have to be as holy as him. We're never going to get there. So we're relying on his holiness, but don't go to the point that you think that doesn't matter how you live. It does matter how you live. Don't take my word for it. The next verse here in 1 John 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him, everyone who has a confident expectation that you're going to be like him when he comes back, you're going to join him forevermore. Everyone who has a confident expectation that that's you, guess what you're supposed to do? Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now that's a key verse. I want to linger on that one a little bit. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. I thought we couldn't purify ourselves. What's that verse mean? I thought we needed the blood of Jesus to purify ourselves. So what's that verse mean? You're following Jesus. You're focused on Jesus. Hopefully you love Jesus and you want to be like him. My family hates it when I talk about him, but Asher doesn't know difference, so I can talk about him just a little bit. His favorite color used to be blue, but he learned that my favorite color is green. Guess what his favorite color is now? It's green. Huh. I don't know if he'll, you know, one of these days he's going to figure that out and it's going to be something else, I guess, you know, but for now, he's looking at me and he's got a lot of good characters in his life that he's adapted himself to. But you see, if we love Jesus, why would we not want to be like him? You know, how does it make any sense to say, I love Jesus, but I love the world, I love all this sin too? Does that make any sense? I mean, do you see how really, if you're choosing sin in your life, do you really telling God you don't love him that much? I love you. It's not that much. I love you. I want you to be my Savior. I just don't want you to be my Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our holiness. Lord. Jesus very famously said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So this verse, 1 John 3:3, let's talk about that some more. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. What does that mean? What's that look like? Mark. Ah, I like that word, continue. I like, in Romans 8, he talks about the flesh, being led by the flesh and being led by the Spirit. And he reminds us that if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. See, there's that purification process. You're living your life in such a way that you're saying, how am I doing, Lord? How do I look? What do I need to change? Sometimes it's not that hard, is it? You know what you did wrong, right? But there's this constant checking of yourself and your behavior. And not what you say, but it's really what you do. It's how you treat people. How you treat God. What are you pursuing in your life? It's not hard to see, really, to take stock and see, how am I doing? And that by the Spirit, see, that would be reading our Bible. That would be being following the Spirit that God put to dwell in us, prayer. We can identify where there's things that are not the way they should be in our life. So if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. That's that purification process. And it, praise be to God that he's given us his Spirit to help us do that, because we wouldn't do so well all on our own, would we? And then now we're back to being holy again. He continues, verse 4. Wait, was there a hand up over here and I didn't get to you? Was it Richard? Yes. Yeah, we're trying to represent him, aren't we? You know, you'll hear sometimes people say, there's a lot of truth in what they say, that you're the only Jesus some people will know. I mean, stop and think about that. They know that you go to church, and then you live in some ungodly way. I was always, Jonah was always kind of bothered me that way. They got the storm, and let's see who it is. They draw straws. That must be you. Who are you? Well, I'm a Hebrew. I serve the living God. You're not serving him too well as you're running away, Mr. Jonah. And that, I think I like that word ambassador. That's good. I'm glad I went to you. Do you have anything more? Because you got good things to say. So, anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Yes, Matt. Yes. Yes. Sure. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, isn't that what communion's for, among other wonderful things? I mean, to examine yourself. And I mean, we talk about taking it in a worthy way. How could you, you know, really a sin that you're practicing, it should never go past communion, should it? Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Oh, by the way, I'm going to keep on sinning. That's a horrible thing. So the practice of sin, it ought to end. And that ought to be what you're examining. Is there anything I'm doing? I need to change my ways. There's that purification process. I appreciate what you're saying. It's not about works. It's not about meaningless repetition of prayers. If it's about works again, now we've destroyed faith, haven't we? It's more about surrender. Surrender. Good point. You guys are good. I need to borrow you every now and then. Verse 4. Everyone who practices sin, ongoing, continuing, you're not trying to put it away. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Okay, now we're back to his holiness. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Let me pause there in this next part, because I think here's where we kind of take the test sometimes. Because we look at ourselves, oh, I'm practicing righteousness. I'm righteous. Just ask me. I'll tell you how righteous I am. And then there's that last little bit that he adds in there, nor the one who does not love his brother. Well, that's a stumbling block for some, isn't it? In our own behavior, we're right there. We show up earlier for church than anybody. We get more in the offering plate. We sing better. We're like one of those little more Western characters. We're just a little better than everybody else at everything, you know? That's us as a Christian. Boy, just look at us. But then it comes down to loving somebody. Oh, don't ask me to do that. I'm not very good at loving people. Huh? There's a talked about holiness, and there's the reality of a holiness. And loving your brother is a real key part of how we're walking with God. Ron? We're in Christ Jesus. And true. And in regard to being in him and saying that you're a follower of Jesus, how many times in that passage we just read was it talk about the practice? How many times was the word practice or practices listed there? I didn't count them, but a bunch, wasn't it? What's happening in your life? It's nice to say nice things. It's better to live them, isn't it? He is holy. We should be holy. Any other thoughts before we move on to 1 Peter? Anybody? Anybody? Wave him high. I got this one guy. I've got him trained better. He's a guy. He's about 6'4", weighs about 300. Big guy. You know how he raises his hand? Watch closely, okay? That's it. Did you catch it? Little finger raised about 1 inch. That's it. I mean, there's a whole lot of him. That finger's just a little bitty thing. It's hard. So if y'all want to say something, this is the best way to get my attention. Okay? All right. Let's move on. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:13. There's something in here that's very relevant to the study of tonight. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, see, that revelation of Jesus Christ, that's when we're going to be like Him. We're going to see Him just as He is. I'm looking forward to that. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in how much? All your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Maybe it's time to talk a little more about what holy means. Perfect? We put that word in there. You shall be perfect because I'm perfect. Which part of that statement's not true? Y'all know He's perfect, right? I guess by elimination, let's see what... Okay, how about the first part? We can never be perfect. Holy doesn't mean perfect. When you talk about the holiness of God, yeah, that means perfect. But when you're talking about your holiness and my holiness, we're relying on His holiness. We're never going to be perfect. That's not what this is saying. But nevertheless, it says something. You shall be holy, for I am holy. What does that mean to you and I? I'll wait on you. What does that mean? Is that a suggestion, by the way? Is he suggesting that, or is that a command? Is that a command? Did you have your hand in the back there? Did you raise your hand? I may not be able to hear you, but try to say something anyhow. Let's see. Would you like me to read that? Ah. There you go. Be conformed. Take the shape and the image of Jesus. He is holy. He's our standard. He's our standard. In Colossians 3, which Brent told me, he said, that's one of your favorite chapters. I said, guilty. I love Colossians 3 so much. The standard of forgiveness, we're to forgive others no matter what they've done. In the same manner that God forgave us. That's our standard of holiness. How did Jesus do it? Okay, that's what I'm going to try to do. Are you ever going to be as holy and perfect as He is? Nope. But that's our standard. And we're doing it not because we have to. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. If it's like somebody guilts you into that, that's probably not going to go very far. You do it because you love Him. You love His forgiveness. You love His mercy. You love the way He loves. You love the things He pursues. And so you pursue those because you love Him. And then it becomes the commandments. They're not burdensome then. It's you're eager to do them. I'll forgive them because I have to. I don't want to, but God says I have to. Okay, I'll forgive them. That's probably not going to help. But you look at Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that's your standard. And you go, who in the world am I to think I should withhold forgiveness from somebody else? See how beautiful that is? The image of Jesus. Thank you, brother. I don't know if I know you, but I like you. Good job. Let's see. How much more time? I don't know. How much more time? I don't know when to quit. When? Oh, I can quit right at 8? Y'all won't get mad at me? All right. I like this place. You can go to sleep. I always tell people back home, you go ahead and go to sleep. I need examples. It's okay. Just help. Go ahead, go to sleep. Let me see. Let's see. Yeah, let's go down to verse 22. I'm skipping due to time. I'm skipping 17 to 21, but they're pretty good to read as well. But 1 Peter 1, we're still in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have not been born again of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Wow. Okay. Fervently love one another from the heart. Does Jesus love everybody? Did he die for everybody? Okay, so we've been talking about his holiness and his image, and we're supposed to be pursuing that image and that holiness. And we just talked about loving somebody. Fervently love one another from the heart. Oh, I'm sorry. Eric? Yes, sir. Well, in this verse, I believe we are, yes. Okay, I appreciate that. I would agree. I haven't got the Greek right in front of me, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you're right. Fervently love one another from the heart. And a sacrificial love, as you're saying. It's always puzzled me in the church how many people worship together that don't even know who people are. How can you honestly sit here and say that you are, man, I'm with you. I see how Jesus loved people, and man, I love people that same way. And you've not even taken time to even know their name. I'm always astonished by things like that. People that have worshiped together for years, and they don't even know. And you bring them up, you say, you know, you mention a name, and they're like, who's that? What do you mean, who's that? You've both been in worship for years together, and you don't even, we've got directories, we've got picture boards. Most of you are on Facebook, for crying out loud. I mean, there's no excuse for not knowing people. And I mean, that's a pretty low bar. If we're talking about fervently loving one another, that's a pretty low bar, isn't it, just to know their name? What if we were actually talking about praying for them? Does God know who's in the directory? Is loving your brother just mean to just go down? Now we're back to what Matt was saying. You just go down through there. I think I'll start in the A's. Okay, I'll pray for my brethren. Man, I don't know who that guy is, but I'll keep praying. And you have no idea even what's going on in their life. You have no idea what to even pray for. That doesn't sound like fervent love to me. Now, I get it. We're not all going to know each other. I understand that. We're not perfect. God's not wanting us to be. I mean, He's wanting us to be better than we are, but perfect, we're not going to get to His level of holiness. But well, I think we can get closer, don't you? That's something probably all of us could do better, don't you think? Probably so. Do you ever know, I mean, don't you like it when people know your name? Do you ever think maybe they might like it when you know their name? See how that works? And I don't know, there's different gifts. Sometimes people just, I don't know, whatever, they can't handle that, I guess. But just try to, just maybe in this week to come, won't you strive on that one? I wonder what's, you know, how about this one? You know, the first thing I hear every time, if somebody's been coming and after a while I notice I haven't seen them for a while and then I'll go visit, you know, the first thing I hear almost every time, I've been gone for X amount of time and nobody noticed, nobody called, nobody texted, nobody said anything. That's a pretty low bar, isn't it? As far as loving your brother, I've noticed that you're not here. And we don't need to be in each other's business, you know, like, okay, what sins did you do this week? So I can pray for you. We don't need to get to that level, but I think we should do better maybe in our pursuit of holiness. to love others. Okay. Any thoughts on that one before I go to Revelation? Anybody? Yes, Shay. Sure. 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 You can at least test the waters, can't you? Yeah. And, you know, there's another thing there. If you love somebody enough, you kind of pick up a little bit on, you know, maybe how should I approach them in a gentle way, in a loving way, you know. It might not be best to knock on the door of somebody that's backslidden and said, you know what, I'm sure you're going to go to hell, so I'm just here to cheer you up. That's probably not the best way to say that, is it? That wouldn't be the loving thing. It might be accurate, but it might not be the loving way to say it. It's just something I think in our pursuit of holiness, that the way we love others, I think, speaks loudly about how well we're actually attaining to the holiness, the image of God that we want to do. Good job, Shay. Go to Revelation 5. And I just kind of thrown this one in here. I don't know. I just want us to come back to the holiness of our Lord. And we see a glimpse of it here, and I think it's useful. It's useful. Because without His holiness, we're not going anywhere. Revelation 5, verse 1. I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seal?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." Now, who are we talking about there? That'd be Jesus Christ our Lord, wouldn't it? Nobody worthy but Him. Nobody as holy as Him. No better sacrifice than the most holy that's ever been, that's ever walked this earth. He's our holiness. We're relying on His holiness. We should love these things about Him. We should treasure these things about Him. There's nothing else like Him. And when we realize that and we love Him all the more, then you have that heartfelt response of, I want to be like Him. I can never be perfect, but I want to be like Him more and more each day. Verse 6, I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him and who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense with the prayers of the saints. And they began to sing, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Whew. I guess that'd be us, wouldn't it? Aren't we in that group that he was just talking about? Nobody's worthy like him. Nobody's holy like our Lord. He is our holiness. Continuing, verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them I heard singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. That's a glimpse of heaven, isn't it? Isn't that a glimpse? I mean, I realize the timing is a little different, but I mean, as far as what heaven's going to look like, that's where we're headed. You see how much better our walk with God can be, should be, than just saying, God, how much sin can I get away with? If you have your hope fixed on Him who is pure, then we need to purify ourselves. He's our holiness. Without Him, we would have no Lamb. But with Him, we have the Lamb. We have the perfect Lamb. So we rely on His holiness that way. And He is our standard. He's the image that we're striving to be. I hope this has helped you tonight, just to consider these things and to look at your life and hopefully walk away with a renewed spirit of, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more holy. I want to be holy in my thinking. I want to be holy with my words, my life. I want to set my life. I want to set it apart for God. I belong to Him now. I think that you will find it a much happier life and a blessed life. And it will strengthen your relationship with God. And it may well help lead other souls to Jesus. That's what's at stake. There's a lot at stake. You've got so much to gain and so much to lose. Let's make the right choices. Thank you for letting me come talk to you. I sure enjoy coming down to visit with y'all, and I love reading from the Word, so I hope it's helped you some. Any last thoughts or comments, anybody? We've got a few minutes. Yes, could you tell me your name? Joe? Could you repeat the verse for me? Okay. Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, our works, if you include love as a work, our works don't save us, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but verse 10, Ephesians 2, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we would walk in them. And certainly love is one of those. So very good. Good comment there. Anybody else? Y'all got a lot more pleasant little ding-dong thing than we do. We've got like this buzzer. It's real annoying, you know. Y'all got this real nice little chimey thing. I like that. We'll have to talk to Jim about that when we get home, darling. So, well, thank you very much. I sure appreciate the time together, and I'll dismiss to whoever. I don't know. Do we have a closing prayer? Me? I'm the closing prayer? I can handle that. Let's all bow. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this time in the Word. I thank you, Lord, for these people and for their heart. I pray, Lord, as we seek that we'll find as you have promised us, and that finally we'll put these things in our life in such a way that gives glory to you and you alone. I do thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you so very much for his life, his death, his resurrection, and the life he leads now. The promise of his return. And I pray, Lord, though we don't know that day, that we're ready each day. That we don't tarry, we don't wait. We make ourselves ready each day as if it's that day. Help us, Father, to be a people that learn to repent quickly instead of long, long term. I pray, Father, that we are a people that continue to love our brethren in such a way that you see it and you are pleased. Help us add to the kingdom, Lord, one soul at a time. I just thank you for the words that we've had tonight. I pray as we focus on them that we'll become more like you want us to be. We'll become more like Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Perfect timing.